Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we are once again. Does that explain a little bit about some of the things that you're doing and why you're turning the other cheek, why you're continuing to just fight on even though it looks like the things are turning on the backward side instead of flipping to the forward side, but you're still pressing on with perseverance? Does that explain a little bit to the world? That's your testimony. I know that's mine. Come on, anybody who's out here fighting for anything, if you're not giving up on your kids, even though society says give up on them, throw them to the side, they're doing the wrong things, they may be incarcerated, they may be running from the law, they may be breaking someone's heart and breaking vows that they had stood before God and promised, or whatever the situation may be, that just may be it. But you're still not giving up. You're still holding on. You still, regardless of what and who may turn away, you said, I'm still there. You're still at that job, and those that turn their back and say, why are you still at this job? No one respects you at this job. You're doing all of this work, and no one's giving you the recognition for it. But you know in your heart that God hasn't told you that it's time to leave. So you're still there. You said, I'm still at this church. And I'm still putting it in my heart. You said, they're never going to let you preach. They're never going to let you be on the ministry or the staff. Why are you still there? You got a word inside of you, and God wants to get it out. And you stand there because you know that you're listening to a bigger God. And you know you're bigger, and you have a closer relationship to the Lord, that you're not about to listen to man and let man pump your head up with a whole lot of man thoughts. Amen? You're not about to fall into that trap. Because the moment that you jump out there and do something that's against God's will, that same man or woman will be the one that broadcasts it all over the social media, all over the networks, to let them know just how you failed, what you've done, who you've hurt in the process of doing it. So I remind you, sister and brother, don't you give up. Don't you bow down. Don't you bend to any of that sin. You need to stop and run away. Turn yourself from that. Turn your gaze from the thing that's getting your attention the most. However you have to do it. That's why we need each other as sisters and brothers in Christ. You call each other and you say, confess, oh, I'm getting a little weak in this area. I'm needing strength in this area. Come on, let's pray together. I need you to get underneath my arms and lift them up for me as I continue to praise, because I'm getting a little weary. I'm getting a little tired. I've been fighting this battle for a long time, and I need to see some sunlight, and I'm blocking it with my negative thoughts. I'm blocking it by now I'm allowing doubt to come in. I'm blocking it because my faith now is getting a little bit weary, but I'm asking for help. Let's stand together with me as we pray about it. Yeah, that's why. It's the Jesus inside of you. It's the Jesus inside of you that will allow you to walk away from that adulterous affair. It's the Jesus inside of you that stopped you from skimming off of the top and that money laundering thing you got going on. Yeah, it's the Jesus inside of you that will stop you now and won't let you do that. What the pressure inside of you is telling you, just do it one more time. One more time, my sister. One more time, my brother. But it's the Jesus inside of you, even though that you're doing the wrong, the Jesus inside of you is still speaking loudly to you. See, he's not yelling and flashing at you just like the enemy is. One more time, you can do it. But it's that still feeling. It's that still feeling that's saying that you know what's right, that you know that you should not be doing this, that you know the right from wrong. And it's that feeling that's going to keep you on the right path. It's that feeling that's going to keep you going when all else is gone. When all else has came to its knees, has bowed down to the enemies of this world, it's the Jesus in you that's going to keep you going. Amen? Amen, amen. I see you in the chat rooms, and God bless you. I ask you, if you'd like to speak to the host, that's fine. Other than that, if you could please just mute your phones. I really do appreciate it. We are able to hear background noise. It's okay? So God bless each and every one of you. This is your host, Minister Yvonne Dumas. Again, I'm coming to you live from sunny San Antonio. And you know, it's very, very beautiful weather right now. I love this time of the year. I love this time of the year. It is, it's not too hot. It's not too cold. You can turn on your air in your car, most definitely. But I found myself this afternoon just letting down a window. And it's been a long time since I can say I let my windows down, but just letting down a window in the car, just cruising for there for a while. So it was very pleasant and breezy. It's nice to get out and go walking, take the dog to the dog park, just do things like that. It's just an awesome time. So I am really enjoying this season of the year. I love the fall. And I love the spring, and I give him praise for all of the seasons, and I just enjoy those. And I do love a little snow from time to time. I enjoy in Omaha, Nebraska, just getting up and looking outside and saying, wow, you know, how much snow is that? I can't wait to turn on the radio just to see, you know, wow, just how much snow did we get? And you see it's still coming down. But after a while, you got to the point, you just gauged it. You can just even imagine, yeah, I know how many inches that is right there. Oh, yeah. And knowing that the kids still needed to get up and go to school was just awesome for them. We would just think that's so funny. But anyway, enjoying the seasons of the year. I pray that wherever you're at, that you in Boston, I'd love to hear you. Thank you for calling in. Wherever you're at, thank you. In Springfield, I have family close to you, in Lawrence. And just thank you for everyone just coming in, whether you're live or in the chat rooms. Enjoy what's before you. Enjoy what's before you. So I say that to get around to our topic for today is some of the things that has been presented to you that is pushing you. You feel a pressure to get out there and do something or go somewhere, and you know that it is not of God. You know that this can lead to a lot of different complications in the future. This is your time that you need to stop and run away. There's nothing wrong with running away. It used to be a saying that something similar to it's better to say there he or she runs than to say there she lies. Amen? So it's a time that we have to stop and run away. And we're picking back up with speaking about Eve as she gazed on the fruit and she start to perplex on what the snake had said. Think about it. He got into her thought pattern. He got into her intellect. And then she had to decide, what was she going to do about this then, you know? And then, had I really heard God right? How am I going to respond to that? So as she would reflect on that, then she, instead of running away, she made the choice, of course, as we know, is to eat of the fruit and then share it with her husband, right? Amen? So we're going to start with our scripture, and then we're going to get right back into the word, okay? The call-in number is 646-652-4916. God bless each and every one of you. Again, 646-652-4916. And just right before we do our scripture, I do want to remind some of you, I was asking for different numbers. I invite you all to tune in, and some of you are late nighters, and that's why you end up catching my broadcast at this time of the night. Other of you do get up early, you just diligent and just obedient and get on up and stay up and catch the broadcast, and so that's awesome. So Central Time, it is noon Central Time, and for the call-in line for the Empower Network. We do have something at noon, but midnight is what I'm trying to speak of. Midnight for the call-in line, and at midnight we have Pastor Zill out of Dallas, Texas. It's on the call-in line, and you can speak and ask for prayer requests or give a praise report, or you just may want to come on and just say a prayer for someone else that's in need of prayer. You may want to just come on and just listen to the word that he brings forth. But whatever you do, you don't want to miss it if you find yourself up moving around at midnight. That is Central Standard Time. You want to join on and be a part of the Empower Ministry. And it is just an awesome thing to be a part of, okay? So look forward to that information. I will be giving that out. As a matter of fact, let's give it out for the first time. It is area code 218-339-4300. And then it asks you to put in a code. And the code is 360777#. Again, area code 218-339-4300. And the code is 360777#. I also will be putting that number into the chat room, okay? or you can always locate or contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com, or you can leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio, or of course you can always go and call me personally on my cell phone at 210-793-1370. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So our scripture tonight is coming to you from the book of Mark. Scripture is coming from the book of Mark, and we're reading verse 14. Starting at 14, book of Mark, chapter 4, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others like seed sown on rocky plains. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, that lasts only a short time. So when troubles or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And then still others like seed sown among thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in, and it chokes the word, making it unfruitful. And other seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 36 or even 100 times what was sown. Let's just do it one more time, and the Holy Spirit is saying, hear the word of the Lord. Again, this is Mark 4, starting at 13. Thank you. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky plains, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. When troubles or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept the word, they produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times that was sown. The question is, for each and every one of us, we're all seed sowers in some kind of way, whether it's negativity that we see that we're sowing, or it is the positive aspect. We listen to the word. We try to go to church. We try to get a word here and there. Some of us are everydayers, and some of us are once a month, or once a year. What kind of seed sower are you? What are you doing with the seed? Where are you sowing your seed? The seed that you get, this word is the seed. The ministries that you follow, that God has placed in your life, that you have chose to take out time of your life to come back and give to the word of God, those seeds that have been sown into your life, what are you doing? Are you holding on to them? Are they too hot for your hands? Is it like hot potatoes and you drop them? Or are you embarrassed of the seed? You're good and you receive it with joy until someone comes along and then you want to hide it because you're afraid they're going to bring up your past and say, I dare you try to hold the seed of God in your hand. Come on now. You were just over here high last night. And so you get embarrassed and you try to, oh, man, I was just flat. I ain't really into that myself. Or, you know, or is it just the fact that you're embarrassed because you're afraid of, how will I do these things that I hear the Lord is telling me to do? It? He's asking me to go places and say things. And how am I going to do that? I don't have the means to do that, you know. My money is not going to stretch that far for me to do that. And so you just decide, I'm just going to set it on the shelf. And later on in life, when I get to that point, then and I earn enough money, then maybe I can do what God is asking me to do. But I'm not going to forget about what he's put on my heart. And before you know it, life happens. And you start worrying about the things of this life. And so it just starts to choke out your dream. It starts to overtake that dream that he has put in your heart, that desire that once had you zealous and just anxious and ready to go. It just starts to choke it out with every trial and every tribulation. It's just like it's got you pinned down, and you're just ready to throw up your hands and say, mercy, mercy, just let me go. I will do what you want me to do. I will lead this dream along. I will throw this seed aside, and I will continue to follow you. Not knowing really that, hey, I'm just giving it up and I'm just following the enemy, but you're just saying, I just need to breathe. I just want to take a breath. I'm not intentionally trying to turn from the Lord. I need to breathe. It's just too much. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. Someone feels that heaviness right now. It's just too much, Minister Vaughn. I don't know how to carry this load. It is you that I come in prayer for tonight, because you're not built to carry that load. I ask you just to take a moment or two. Will you just stop wherever you're at? Amen. Just close your eyes and receive this prayer. In our name of our Father, our Son, and the precious Holy Ghost, the Trinity, all is one. We just come to you, dear Father, asking you to just forgive us for our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. We just want to come with thanksgiving in our hearts and on our tongues by saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to even admit that we're at fault in different ways. Thank you, for, dear Father, for looking inside of us, looking beyond all of our faults, dear Father, and seeing our needs and our desires. Dear Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to align our desires up with your desires. And then once we get in connect with all of your desires, you said you would give us the desires of thine heart because they match your heart. Hallelujah. So then we're not going outside of your will and your desires. It's a match. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for just provision, linking away. I pray, dear Father, for all of the sisters and brothers that are being held back, that are throwing their seeds to the side, that are hiding behind something, dear Father, because they're ashamed of the seed. They're getting caught up, dear Father, in the daily-to-day task of this world, and they're forgetting about that you are the giver of the seed. Hallelujah. I'm glad I bless the ones that are just like the thorns and where they hear the word, dear Father, and then they get caught up with trying to get wealth. They get caught up with trying to keep up with the Joneses. They get caught up with trying to be the first one to go to the moon instead of being the first one to find that relationship in their family and it'll pass it down for generations and generations and generations to come to build off of. They've already got the luxuries and they got the mindset of how to do those things and get those things, acquire the wealth. But they're forgetting to pass down to generations after them your love, your peace, how to get a prayer through, how to fall down on your knees. Not just to worship in spirit and at just some idol, but how not to be ashamed of the Lord. How to live a life that you can get a prayer through, that you can build a relationship that'll keep you in your time of need and want. That'll keep you in your time of happiness and joy. So with the sun and the rain, you can still keep your relationship. That you won't budge either way it goes. Oh, I pray, dear Father, that you just will go out to each and every one of them and just let them receive your Holy Spirit. And now may I decrease in your ever-loving increase. May someone find you at the gaze of their night. In their dreams, may they still be thinking on you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for always being there. Thank you, Jesus, for being everywhere, omnipresent. We give you all the love and praise, and we just ask you to be with all ministries, leaders, teachers, evangelists that are out trying to do your will. Preach your word. And now for that lonesome soul right now that is lonesome but trying to do right, making that decision tonight to come and give you, invite you into their heart. I thank you, Lord, for bringing up all the ones that are around that's going to be there to support them on their walk with you. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen again, saints. Amen again, saints. You know, we have to be careful and make sure that we are guarding ourselves.
You know, the great security against sin lies in being shocked at it. You know, a lot of things about sin back in the day, it was shocking if somebody just came out and just told us some of the sin things that is going on today. It was a shock. They would have been embarrassed, first of all, and we would have been, you know, just totally shocked and just let them know. Just from the shock, it would have been like, wow, we need to pray for this sister, this brother. And today's time, people just, if you say that you're doing the right thing, if you say that you're a believer, these things must happen now, according to the word. But if you say that you're a believer, you say you're doing the right thing, and you have 10 people sitting on the panel, 9 of them is going to ask you or question you or even debate you as to why would you serve a God that you can't see? Why would you want to tell me about your God? But we can say all kind of different demonic names. We can bring up any kind of demonic spirits and the practices of those spirits, and we can bring up movie after movie after movie. We can write books and turn them on to our kids as young as in kindergarten to try to get them started on the Harry Potters and witchcraft and sorcery and all the different things. But if you mention the name of Jesus, then we're all torn up. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's, you know, this is such a big sin. Why would you push that on me? And it seems not to shock the church. The church is not even shocked anymore, some of the things in the world does. But we have to remember that when we're not shocked, we'll get our attention gazed up on those negative things so deeply that it'll become familiar to us. And just like Eve began to gaze at that fruit once the enemy kept planting the seed in her mind, once he kept starting with an insinuation and turning it into a flat lie. Did God really say that to you, Eve? Are you sure that's what he said? And then do you really think that you will die? Or is it that God knows that the moment that you eat or even touch of that tree, that fruit, you will become like a God. And your eyes will be open. And you shall see and know all good. You'll have knowing of all good and all evil. Knowledge will be yours. She began to gaze at that fruit. And that fruit was pleasurable to gaze at. Just like that sin. Sin is pleasure in sin. It's pleasure in sin. But it's a price for that sin, my sisters and brothers. I remind you that the price is your wages. Just like on any job, it's your wages. And the wages of that sin is only one thing. It doesn't change regardless of what the sin is. It doesn't change you regardless of if you were caught in that sin or if you were not caught in that sin. It doesn't change because the sin may have been 30 years ago now. If you have not repented from that sin with a truthful heart, the wages of that sin, my brother, the wages of that sin is death, my sister. I don't care where your name is at. I don't care how many accolades you may get. If you haven't repented of that sin with a truthful heart, the wages of that sin is death. So Eve began, she gazed at the fruit, and she reflected on the snake, and she started to reflect on what he said. And when she should have just run away, can you imagine if she had just ran away? But she stopped, and she listened, and that was the big mistake. She looked at that fruit long enough to consider its taste. You know, some people can look at the opposite sex like that. They can look at them long enough and they can just start to imagine themselves with them. They can start to imagine underneath their clothing. They can imagine somebody else's husband as their own husband. They can start to imagine someone else's wife as their own wife. Just to remind you, in case you're confused, God is not going to give you somebody else's mate for you to call your husband. Amen? God is not going to give you somebody else's wife for you to go play house with, and you think that it's going to be happily ever after. He's just not going to do it. God is not going to take you out of the fire and set you into the frying pan. That's not how he works. He wants to give you ease and peace of mind. He wants to give you joy, and there is no joy in any of those situations. So if you're finding yourself in a dilemma of what shall I do? Oh, my gosh. I really don't want to be with him, but he just keeps pursuing me. Stop and run away. You need to pursue this as someone that's really after you. Stop and run away. You know, people who fall into sin make that kind of mistake all the time. They stop and consider how it tastes, what it looks like, what it would be like. They go into a fantasize. They'll just be sitting at work fantasizing, sitting in the real life fantasizing. They make poor decisions because they're just fantasizing what it's going to be like in the future. And if you want to be safe from sin, you can't look at it. You cannot look at it. You cannot stop and gaze upon it. Don't spend time staring at that sinful thing. Don't spend time thinking about what it would be like to partake. You know, in the Bible, Joseph did the right thing when his boss's wife, she dropped her clothes and just flat out said, you know, I've made my decision. It's me and you tonight. This is the way it's going to be. Read that story in Genesis 39 and 7. But Joseph, he didn't hang out. He didn't start to try to say, you know, okay, well, maybe I so, you know. You are the king's wife, so maybe I should go ahead and entertain that. Or you know what? No one's going to know. You know what? You are very attractive. Once I think about it, you know what? He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Was it easy? I can't say that it was. But no, instead he ran away. I know somebody may be saying, why would he run? That's so chicken to run away. He ran away because he was shocked at the sin of it. That sin was just not something that he took as nonchalant. He was shocked at that sin. And he refused to stand there and gaze on that naked woman, on that sinful thing. So he refused to stand there and gaze upon someone that he had no business looking at. He knew he had no business looking at it. It's somebody right now who works at a bank. You have no business paying so much attention to all that money you're working around. Even the safe and who goes here at a certain time towards the safe and who has the combinations and which way they go to do this and that. You have no business gazing up on that money for that longer period of time that you are. Yeah, I feel you shouting right now because you know who you are. You have no business gazing up on that. You have no business gazing up on someone else's cattle, their land, their wives, their job. But Joseph refused to stand there and just gaze at something that he knew he had no business in at. David was a man after God's own heart. Why did David commit adultery with Bathsheba? Because he didn't leave when he caught her taking a bath. He saw her, then he stopped, and he gazed at her. Amen? He thought about her. He wasn't shocked, and he sure didn't run away. So unlike Joseph, he fell into sin with the woman. He fell into sin with the woman. Again, the security lies in being shocked enough by sin to run from it, not to stare at it, not to stand there and say, I can't believe you're doing this. You know you're married. I can't believe you're doing this. I can't believe that you're getting ready to go over there and steal that. Oh, my goodness, girl. I'm not stealing anything. I'm with you, but I'm just walking with you. I can't believe that you're getting ready to steal that. I can't believe you're getting ready to put that in your arm. Girl, you're going to put that needle in your arm. I can't believe you're getting ready to smoke that joint. Come on. Really? I can't believe you're getting ready to smoke that cigarette. You've got to move yourself out of the situation. Them today, you tonight. The security lies. You want to be secure and removing yourself away from that sin. You must stop and run away. The security lies in being shocked enough by that sin to run away from it. Don't stand there in the midst of it, staring at it. You know, if we fill our minds with thoughts like faith doesn't work, it affects more than just us. You see, doubt is like a plague. That plague, it spreads like a disease, and it starts to eat away at anybody's life. That's why you see, so you think that because you're down here and someone else has a little bit more leeway into what you would think is the bright future, and then you find them to be so miserable. You find them to be so crazy once you get to talking to them. You find them to be so antsy and jittery. You find them that they can't keep their thoughts together. They can't stay in one place. They just can't keep anything going. They're just chasing their tail around, and you look at what you thought was low. This is, you thought it was confidence. You thought it was assurance. You thought it was, they got it going on. And you meet he or she, and you say, oh, she's really kind of messed up. You know what? I wouldn't trade my place for that. Or maybe they got where they're at by doing the wrong way, by stepping on others. And you get to meet them, and they're just nasty, and they'll step on you, and you don't have anything to do with your meeting at the moment. But they're just so used to knocking people over and doing what they want to do that you're like, wow, this is not who I thought this was. This is not who I thought this was. This is not going the way I thought it was. Doubt is like a plague. It just spreads like a disease. It just eats away at the life that you have and that you right now start out this. And you know, you can't say, you know what, I have a good life. You see, in the garden, Satan tempted Eden by trying to what? Disturb the view of God. And before he came, she and Adam simply believed what God said. They just simply believed that everything was just fine before he came. But then sin came in a snake-like manner. And that's when it started with insinuations about God's motive. You know, Satan is like a flesh devil. So he tries to appease the flesh. He's so prideful. He almost always begins with pride. And when he starts questioning Eve about what God said, his questions were posed in order to cast doubt in Eve's mind. And by the end of that conversation with Eve, he just flat out denying God's word is true when he said, you shall surely not die. And when the devil comes to you and tempts you not to have faith, he will begin with just posing questions in order to cast doubt in your mind, too. He will insinuate things about God, and he'll try to give you a distorted view of God. And then he'll just show you the beauty of the other side of things. He's painting a distorted picture for you, sisters and brothers. And the longer you gaze at his picture, the more likely you are to fall into the next phase, which is denial. Denial. And you may find it has crept out of your mind and it's coming out of your mouth. God won't do what he said. Not for me. Maybe for somebody else. Everybody else has been blessed for me. But not for me. See, that's not faith. And if that ain't faith, what is it then? We said that is sin. If it ain't faith, it's sin. As we close tonight, I remind you, God has a plan for your life. And it begins with his word. You must study the word. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word night and day. You must find some time to study the word. You find time to go to work. You find time to be with yourself. You find times to watch your favorite show, your favorite sport, to speak with your spouse, to be with your kids. You must find time to be in the word. It just has to be important enough to you. Get your priorities straight. That's what keeps you away from suicide, from the suicidal thoughts. That's what keeps your body in a more healthy mood. That's what keeps you in faith. Will you just believe it, that God has a plan for your life? Will you believe it, that plan starts with his word? It's up to you. Will you decide to live accordingly to the word? It's up to you. Will you be faithful to your personal convictions? Whatever God tells you to do is like your personal bull's eye mark. And if you steer away from that, you're missing the mark. This is not God's best for you to keep missing the mark. It doesn't matter what God has told anyone else to do. You won't be held accountable on that great judgment day for anybody else's choices but your own. But your own. Today, commit to doing what he's telling you to do. Commit to believing what he says, even if it goes against everything you see in the natural. That's what I try my best to do every day of my life. And God has yet to steer me in the wrong direction. When everybody said that, no, it couldn't be done, or no, I shouldn't do this, God said that I could. Amen? When everybody said that I wouldn't, God said I would. And you know what I found out? I found out that God is right. He's always on target, and as long as we keep our eyes on the mark, we'll never miss him. We will always be walking in faith. We will always be walking in faith. The choice is yours tonight, my sisters, my brothers. If you don't know God as your own personal Savior, I invite you to just repeat the words after me and believe them in your heart. You shall be born again, according to Romans 10:9-10. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray, amen. And if you just prayed this prayer, it's very important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. You have a brand new life of victory. You have a brand new life of peace and joy ahead of you. And from this day on, the Prince of Peace is with you to help you conquer any trials that come your way. You're never alone. He's there for you. I would love to help you by sending out any biblical literature that you may need, or just giving a word of comfort, maybe going in prayer with you and finding a church in your area. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can reach me also here at the Blog Talk Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Minister Von Dimmel. Remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Congratulations for becoming a part of the greatest family that never ends. It's an eternal family. We'll see you tomorrow. Just remember,
tonight we have a very special announcement.
Yeah.
He has prompted our hearts to tell you. Think about it these last few months.
It won't be long. Will be leaving here.
We'll be leaving here.
It won't be long. We'll be going home. It won't be long.
Listen.
Will be leaving here.
Whoever you are.